Also, we would greet each one of you in that name of Jesus, the name above all names. Looking at the message title this morning, it reminds me of a category on the Wheel of Fortune. What are you doing? And to add to that title would be, what are you doing with what you have? I want to open it up to those of you, some of you, to share just briefly. And what I want to hear from you is, if you had reason this week to rejoice about something, what is it? Just several of you speak up. This past week. You don't know what's coming up this coming week. Lots of rain, okay? What happened that you had would have reason to rejoice?
And something to call her own.
Sure. Okay. Sure. Yep. All right. DMV survival. Ah. Anyone else yet? Quickly. All right, we're going to move on. As you look around and see the group of people that are here, would there be anyone that would want to look at someone and mention something that sticks out to you in an area that that person is gifted in, that is a blessing? If you look at someone and you look at them and you see something, when you see them, you think of a certain gifting. And I'm springing this one on you, so I'm not giving you much time to think. Okay. Yep. Okay. Very good. Someone else? Annie has the gift of helps. About? Oh, man. Go, Annie. Okay. Very good. Someone else? Okay, we'll move on. Back to you, Joel. Gina said something to the effect that you have a way of connecting with children. You're next, Annie. Why do you think God gave you that gift? You don't have to have a real deep intellectual, theological answer. Is it a gift that you thought of that you have? Maybe. Or maybe not. Okay. So let's acknowledge that this would be a true fact, that you have a gift of working with kids. Why did God give you that gift? Mm-hmm. Okay? I love seeing Joel speechless. Annie, you were said to have the gift of helps. Why do you think God gave you that gift? Okay. Would it be in order to bring honor and glory to God? The answer was too simple, right? But that's why God gives us gifts. We've been going through the book of Colossians, and today we will be coming to the end of chapter 1. But in Colossians 1, verses 15 through 22, those verses spoke about who Jesus is and what we are if we believe and receive Him. And in our lesson today with our new instruction class, it was very much stressed about believing and receiving, believing and receiving. Believe in Christ Jesus and receive Him. That is important. It is imperative for salvation. To just believe is not enough. But as we noticed, Paul, when he writes so often, he will be writing about something, all of a sudden he stopped, I don't know if he stopped, but in the middle of his dialogue of what he's talking about, he brings up something to clarify. And that's what he does in those verses from 15 through 22 in Colossians chapter 1. Then Paul also says in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1 that you and you and you as a believer are to follow Paul as he followed Christ. He was telling the church at Corinth that. Just like, watch how I do and then follow me as I follow Christ. Those are some scary things. Those are some commitments that could be pretty scary to take on for each one of us. To be of the mind that if I would tell somebody, or for you to be of the mindset that you tell somebody that you just watch real closely how I live, and if you watch how I live, and if you do what I do, you will go to heaven, and you will be a successful Christian. Would you be willing and ready to raise your hand and say that that has been and continues to be your life? We won't ask you to raise your hand. We want to read in Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29, if you'd like to turn in your Bibles this morning. Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. I will read that and then we'll go back over and address some of these different subjects in this passage. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. Verse 24, Paul says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul is thankful. He is glad to be able to endure things, whether it's mental suffering, whether it's physical suffering. He says, I rejoice. In Acts 5:41, after they were in prison, I think this was Peter, and it says they rejoiced to be counted worthy to suffer shame for His name, and that be for the name of Christ. Philippians 1:29 tells us that it has been given to us as God's people to not only believe, but to also suffer for His name. Let's look in verse number 24, and I'm going to read that verse, and I'm going to leave out part of that verse. It reads like this: I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking for the sake of His body, which is the church. Paul here is willing to suffer even as Christ suffered for others. If you read that passage and don't stop and take it apart, it can look as if it's saying that He is rejoicing in His suffering and He's filling up in His flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. Or like, it could almost read that the things that Christ went through weren't quite enough, and so therefore Paul is taking up the slack. That's not what it's saying. Paul is saying that he is willing to suffer for you, for those that he is under the those that are under the influence of him and his teaching. He is willing to put himself out to be suffered mentally or physically in the same ways as what Christ Jesus suffered while he was on this earth. Those afflictions that Christ went through for us, Paul said, I am also willing to do that for y'all. And that is for the sake of His body, which is the church. How many of you are willing to suffer? How many of you are willing to take stripes that are not yours to take, that you did nothing wrong, and you're willing to accept suffering? I find it interesting when I ask each one of you, and I'm not being even one bit critical of everything y'all shared about something that you rejoiced in. But I find it of interest note that there was not one of you that shared a praise report for something terrible that you went through this week and that you rejoice in that. It's not how we're used to doing. We rejoice in the good things, the things that make my life a little bit more pleasant, that make my life more bearable. But Paul here says, I rejoice in my afflictions. I rejoice that I can suffer for the sake of the body, His church. Could you imagine, brothers and sisters, if we would really get a hold of what Paul is telling us here, how that would end all strife. It would end all backbiting. It would end talking bad about. It would avoid any amount of hurt feelings, any offenses. They would go away. If I would take on the attitude that Paul had of like, I will take stripes that I'm not worthy to take. I will take on stripes. I will take on abuse for the sake of the body. And maybe not even defend myself. Not even come back and tell you that what you're doing is wrong. It wasn't me. But to accept that when someone even comes against us, when someone talks against me, how willing am I, how willing are you to suffer for the body? He said, to fill up in my flesh, to take it on in His flesh, to just say, you know what? I'm going to man up and take it. That which is lacking. There might be those in your life, there might be those in our body here. They're not as strong as you are. Are you willing to take on what is lacking for the sake of the body? Are you willing to take on mistreatment for the sake of your brother or your sister, for the sake of the body? This morning, as we look at suffering, as we look at looking out for each other, Would you consider yourself a giver or a taker? Are you one that just absorbs everything that that can be given to you? Or are you one who is giving out? Who is looking out for the needs of those around you? One who is willing to even be misunderstood in what you're doing for the sake of the body. Verse 25, Paul says, I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. We're going back to what are some gifts that you see in someone else? These gifts that God has given each one of us, and each one of us have different gifts. We don't all have the same gifts. But God has given us different gifts, and the reason He gives us different gifts is for the good and for the work of the body. And it's to fulfill the Word of God. So each one of you, you have a gift or gifts that God has given you. And if you're a slacker in putting out and fulfilling and acting out on these gifts that God has given you, you could be the cause of somebody looking in on the Word of God and say, that Word is not truth. Because look at her, look at him, look at him, look at him, look at her. They're one of those Christians. They're not doing what that word says. It says, the stewardship from God which was given to me for you. Paul recognized that these things, these strengths that God has given him were not for his own benefit. It might even be for his own death. But that it was so that the word of God could be proven true. The word of God is true. But so that the Word of God would not be evil spoken of because of the way I'm living my life. How are you living your life this morning? Could people look at you and say, the Word of God is really not that big of a deal because you say you're one of those? And I see how you live. I know what you say and I know what you do. And it doesn't match up. Are you willing to fully lay down your life? Are you willing to fully allow God to work and to move, even to the point of being mistreated and to the point of being misunderstood? And in verse 26, he talks about the mystery that's been hidden. That mystery, it says it has been hidden from ages and from generations. We look at the Old Testament characters and we see the awful things that these men of God did. But yet, God used these people. These Old Testament characters did not have the privilege of having the complete canon of Scripture as we do. We can look and we can even look and know how the story ends. And we still struggle. We still falter. We still fail. But it says that this mystery has been revealed to you, his saints. This mystery, which is known the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So then the people, these Gentiles looking in, and these Gentiles, we would call these people those that are pagans, those that do not name the name of Jesus Christ, those that do not have the life of Christ living within them. When they look at you, can they see Christ in you, the hope of glory? That mystery for you as a believer has been revealed to you, and it will be continually to be revealed as you avail yourself to what His Word tells us. It says, to you, God has willed to make known the riches of His glory. Brothers and sisters, if you get this right, brothers and sisters, if I get this right, when I go out, when I'm on the job, when I'm on the road, when I'm at the gas station, when I'm at the grocery store, there will situations come up when I'm dealing with my brothers and sisters in the church. There will situations come up. And the pagans are out here. They're gathered around and they're looking and they're watching. And don't kid yourself. They are looking and they are watching. But when they see you as a born-again believer, one who says that Christ is in me, that hope of glory is within me, that mystery that He has shown to us as His people, it's evident that I'm living it out in my life. And then when things turn sour, when things go south on me, when things don't work out the way I want or the way I would have liked, and things even turn really bad for me, and my response is still correct. My response is still that I'm honoring and I'm glorifying in God and I'm praising Him even in the midst of my suffering. Brothers and sisters, this is something that those pagans that are out here looking at you, they cannot refute. They can call you names, they can say whatever they want about you, but they cannot refute what's going on and how you're living your life. They will sit there and they will shake their head and are like, I think she's crazy. But there's something about her. I think he is nuts. He's a fool. But there's something about him that I can't figure out. Brothers and sisters, when we get this right, it's that mystery that God has revealed to us, His children, that's going to make the pagans look in on us and just shake their head. Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why I do what I do. This is why you do what you do. And you know what? Sometimes you don't get it right. You know what? Sometimes I don't get it right. You know what? Sometimes we hardly ever get it right, it seems. Why do you do what you do? Why do you act the way you act? Why do you respond to situations the way you respond to situations? I would love it if I could say, with all honesty, say, every situation, when it comes up, I respond because it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. But we don't always get it right. But we can continue to work and continue to grow. Verse 28 says, Him we preach. And you notice that word Him, that first letter, is capitalized. Paul is saying here that it is Jesus, that simple gospel message, Him we preach. Him we proclaim. Him we make known through our words. Him we make known through the way that we act. Him we make known by the way we don't act sometimes. But on that very same note, how many times do I ring reproach upon the name of Jesus Christ because of my sorry attitude, of my sorry outlook, of my sorry way of responding in a situation? It says, Him we preach. And when these pagans are looking in on us, you are preaching a message, brothers and sisters. Each one of you are preaching a message, whether with your mouth or with your actions. And you're either going to make these pagans that know not God, you're going to make them be okay in their sin because it's like, I know what he says he is. I know what she says she is. She don't act no different than I do when they're under stress. Yeah, sure, when everything's going fine, it's okay. Anybody can act good, and that's correct. But the way that we respond, the way that we react when things don't go the way that I would really want it to go, if it could be a perfect world made to my choosing. But when our lives are running off the tracks, as it were, and the pagans are looking in and they're seeing that I'm still, it's like life is terrible as anybody would know it. But I'm still resting in Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, because it's who I am. Whatever happens, it doesn't matter. I know and I rest in who I am. Verse 28 says, Him we preach. You are preaching with your life. Then he goes on to say, warning every man, teaching every man, and presenting every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Three things, warning, teaching, and presenting. This is what Paul said, and he says, warning every man, teaching every man, and presenting every man. Now, do you believe that Paul was saying that every person in the world, as it was at that point, he was having influence on? No. But he was influencing every man and woman that was in the sphere of his influence. Those people that come in contact with, those people that had heard about him, maybe even those that have never seen his face, but they heard about that man named Paul. What do people say about you when they hear about that woman named, or that man named? Is it a moment when my name comes up, or when your name comes up, that people just maybe, yeah, whatever. How many times have I been the cause of somebody not taking serious who Jesus Christ is because of the lackadaisical way that I've been living my life? Or even the hypocritical way that I've been living my life. I'm saying I'm one thing, but I live my life out another way. And it's all well and good when things are well and we can live correctly. We can respond correctly. But it's when the rubber meets the road, of when the train runs off the tracks, how do you respond? How do I respond? So Paul was saying here in verse 28, everything that I do, always, every day, everything I do, it is to make known who Jesus Christ is, and it is to make known the riches of the glory of the mystery of Jesus Christ, that when the pagans are looking in, they're like, unbelievable. I cannot figure this person out. I cannot figure out what's going on. But there's something greater than just that human flesh and bone, what I see standing there. In verse 29, he says, and this is why I live. This is why I work. He says, I'm striving, I'm staying focused, I'm learning, and I'm growing. And I'm wanting to know more about who he is, that man named Jesus Christ. And I'm wanting to know more about what he wants for me and how he wants me to conduct my life in every situation. He says, to this end I labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. What do you do when you strive? When you are striving, it is not just simply just going along and just whatever comes your way. Yeah, yeah, whatever, whatever. But when you're striving, you have a goal in mind, and there's going to be some backlash at you. And maybe a lot of backlash. But you have a goal in mind, and that is to make known the riches, to make known the mystery, to make known the glory, to make known the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, which lives in you and whom you are serving, and he lives in you mightily. Can you say that this morning? Can I say that this morning? That he lives and he works in me mightily. There is nothing that you can do, there is nothing you can say that will offend me, there is nothing that will come against me, because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I have been paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering and death and resurrection. And you cannot offend me. And I'm moving forward. Oh, if we could grasp that, if we could somehow figure out how to daily die and to stay dead daily. Paul said he works in me mightily. And the more you and I grow, the more we realize who he is, the more we study his word, And the more we see how He's revealing Himself even through my hard times. And the more I see how He's able to use even me. Even me. How He's able to use even you. Even you. Me and you. These lonely creatures that we are. He will become greater and greater in our lives. And the greater and greater He becomes in my life because of me allowing Him to work and move through me in situations, whether they're good or whether they're bad, then the more I will trust Him. Because, well, I can look back, I know what You did for me yesterday, God. And this right now, I don't know how I'm going to, I don't know what to do with it. But I do know that I'm going to trust You. Period. How many times does God have to show Himself mightily in your life, in something in your past back here that you knew no way out? And when the time came, there He was. There it worked out. And so often, like, oh, well, that was lucky. Could it be that you, as God's people, you as a person, as a man, as a woman of God, somebody who's after God's own heart, that God is up in heaven looking down and saying, watch this. I'm going to do something here because they trust in Me. God made Jesus available to us. These gifts that we are to use for His honor and for His glory and fulfilling His purpose. Not my purpose. But in and through us. That He can work. And that's hard to do. That's hard to say that I don't want anything of my own. I just want to serve You no matter what happens to me. But that's where our God wants us to find ourselves. And then as we do that, He will more and more, we will find that He is working mightily. He is working out details. Doesn't mean that my life is going to be peachy cream. Doesn't mean that I will not have any more problems. Maybe I'll have worse problems. But I'll know who I'm serving. I know that He is right there. He is still caring for me. Even in the midst of horrible circumstances, which most of us know nothing of, horrible circumstances. This is, Gina shared this morning about these people who go through these awful times of history. We know nothing of that. But yet, how many times do you struggle? How many times do I struggle of letting go of these things that come against me, these things that cause hurt in my life? As we strive to fill His purpose in our life, through the individual giftings that God has given you, you will find and experience joy, peace, contentment. And that is in a world, even where you have Donald Trump as president, in a world where you have Democrats and Republicans that are totally at odds with each other, in a world that looks like there's no way there's going to be any kind of agreement with anybody. But in spite of that, we experience this deep, settled peace, this deep, settled joy. It has nothing to do with the circumstances around me, but it has all to do with my relationship with who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Shall we stand? There is a verse in Philippians 4, verse 9, and in closing, I would like us to read this together. And I trust that this could be each one of our prayer. Let's read it. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Can you take that verse with you today and tomorrow and the next day? And you tell somebody that. You'll tell other people that. You just watch me. You just watch how I do, and the God of peace will be with you. What a challenge for each one of us. What are you doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Are you filling out God's purpose for your life? And if you're not, how long will you delay? When will you start? How long will you wait? Today is the day that we can say, it's all about you, my Lord and my God. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Father in heaven, thank you this morning again for these nuggets of truth in your word. God, these short verses in scripture that tell us so much about who you are. It tells us so much about these who have lived and died and have lived their lives serving you. These that we can take examples from. God, would you continue to work and move through us as your people? God, would you help us to be more deliberate in the way that we live our lives so that the people that are looking in on us, they have to walk away and shake their head and to know that there's something much greater than just what this human body can put out. But it's that Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. Thank you again for what you do for us. Thank you that we can have your grace covering our lives to give us that ability to do the things that we know we need to do. And it's only because of you that we can do that with your power and your strength. And God, we thank you now this forenoon for this meal that we're going to be eating. We thank you, God, that we can have the fellowship of saints and that we can do it around this food. Would you bless it? Would you strengthen us again for your honor and for your glory? For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Y'all are dismissed.